Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences on related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs and related topics. You are more than welcome to ring in during the show to ask questions or make comments. There's an abundance of services and resources and support available through our organization Toward the Light, including near-death studies and support and products and services, counseling, readings, healing, and this radio program. We'd like to encourage you to please support this work by making a kind and loving donation. And for more information, please visit our websites, towardthelight.org, and our media site, towardthelight.info. This week, we are going to be talking about after-death communications, known as ADCs. And I'm very pleased to have with me someone who is working on a book entitled Visits from Heaven that is going to be about verifiable ADCs. Welcome to Toward the Light, Josie Varga. Hello, Josie.
Hello, Juliet. So nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you with us. And I was quite intrigued when I was referred to you and your website, and saw that you've got a lot of challenges, as I do, with our physical bodies, but what's very interesting is that you yourself have had some very profound after-death communication. So why don't we start by your sharing with us a little bit about your ADCs and how this got you into the work of writing the book and so forth.
Okay, let me backtrack a little bit.
Sure.
As you know, I'm an author, and my first book was called Footprints in the Sand, A Disabled Woman's Inspiring Journey to Happiness. And in the back of the book, I have an epilogue. The epilogue is actually an email written by my husband's friend, who died on 9/11. 2 years before his death, his father died. And he sent out this inspiring email about life itself, and how every wasted minute was a crime. And when I was finished with my book, my husband came up to me and said, you know, honey, do you think you can put this somewhere in your book? And I read it, and it said a lot about what I was trying to portray in my book. So I decided to put it in the epilogue of the book. The book came out in April of 2004. I believe it was August. I went to sleep, and I had what some people might call a vivid dream, what others may call a visit, an ADC, whatever you want to call it. But what happened was I saw myself walking down a hallway. I was in some sort of an office building. I came to the end of the hallway, and I went into this door, and there was a room with a bunch of desks and a bunch of windows. And I looked up, and I saw this guy, Rich, who was my husband's friend and former boss. Now, I want to point out that I never met him. I only spoke to him on the phone. But I knew when I saw him that it was him. And he looked at me and he said, Josie, thank you for mentioning me in your book. And at that point, he moved over to a desk and he picked up a phone. And the phone had a picture of him, his wife, and his son. And he looked at me and he said, Josie, Boston is okay. And at that point, I kind of felt myself going through a window, and I was on a street, and I looked up, and I saw Rich standing behind his wife and son in the bed of a pickup truck. And, you know, he's looking at me, and he's talking, but he's not really moving his lips, and he says, okay, now go tell my wife. Well, when I came through, it was the most amazing thing. Throughout the whole experience, I felt like my body was moving, and when I came through, I kind of felt like I was pushed back into my body. I woke up, like, out of breath, I just woke up like panting, you know, like, and I get up and I'm like, oh my God, you know, what just happened to me? I didn't understand what happened to me. I only knew that I had to get this message to his wife. So I go downstairs. My husband was already at work. I call him up and I said, honey, this is what happened and I have to get this message to Rich's wife. And his reaction was, what are you, crazy? You want me to call his poor wife who just lost her husband and tell her that Boston is okay? And I said, I know you don't understand it. I don't understand it. All I know is what I experienced was real and that I needed to get this message to his wife. And to make a long story short, we compromised and we decided that I would send him an email and he would forward it to Rich's wife's sister. Okay? So my husband John sends the email, and he said to me, the minute he sent it, he said, oh my God, I shouldn't have sent it. What did I do that for? You know, he kind of regretted it. A week later, we were down the shore, at the Jersey Shore here in New Jersey, and he had his BlackBerry with him, and we had gotten a response.
He had a what with him, please?
A BlackBerry, you know, a little handheld where you can get the internet.
Oh, okay.
Portable.
Sorry.
Yeah. But anyway, we were able to get the internet, and we read the email, and basically what it said was, Rich's wife had a brother in Boston. She was considering selling her home and moving to Boston, but she felt guilty because she had purchased her house with her husband shortly before he died. So when he came to me and he said, Boston is okay, you know, tell her Boston is okay, he was saying to his wife, it's okay, you can move to Boston. Now, I didn't know his wife had a brother in Boston. I didn't know anything, you know. So when I got this message, I was, like, totally shocked, you know, like in disbelief. Like, why would he come to me? And I could never understand that. But the whole experience changed my life. At first, I was afraid. And then I was talking to my sister-in-law, Sherry. And I knew if I said something to her, she wouldn't laugh because she's very open to these things. And she said something that hit me. She said, Josie, do you realize that what you got, that what you experienced was a gift? And I didn't think of it, you know, like that. But now I do. Because how many people are able to get a message from the other side like that and actually get validation that it was real?
And thankfully, more and more all the time, and this is what is so tremendous about this, because it sounds to me like you not only had this tremendous ADC, but I would venture to say that you also went out of body.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
It felt like I was, when I say I was going down a hallway, I felt my body moving. I felt my body moving and experiencing all this, and it was almost like I wanted to move back because I was blinded by what I was seeing.
Yes.
Like it was kind of bright, like it was almost right in front of my eyes. And I felt like I wanted to move back. I don't know how to explain it, but when I woke up panting, out of breath, and I felt like I was like pushed back into my body. That's the only way I can describe it. So at first, when this happened to me, as you could imagine, I was afraid. And I was like, I don't understand what just happened. I don't understand why he would come to me. Why would he come to me and not his wife? I mean, I spoke to him on the phone, but I never met him. And doing research for Visits from Heaven, I've spoken to a few mediums, and they told me, they said, listen, the reason he came to you is because he knew that you were open to it, and he knew by giving the message to you, you would give it to his wife. That's why he came to you.
I was going to say that, too. And I would also say that he came to you because you were a neutral party.
Exactly. Because if he went to his wife, she probably would have dismissed it.
Exactly. And so, you know, as a medium myself, I'm recognizing all of this stuff that you're talking about. And it's really, really tremendous. And I also want to commend you for honoring that, you know, when you got the message, I've got to deliver this message, It's like a cosmic telegram, as it were. And
exactly.
Gosh, that's it's so wonderful.
I didn't see it as, you know what, I didn't see it as a choice.
Yes.
You know, I saw it as, oh my gosh, you know, he came to me with a message, and you know, he's dead, but, you know, maybe, you know, there is an afterlife. I mean, I've always believed in an afterlife.
Mm.
I went through 12 years of a Catholic school, okay, and they always told you, well, you know, you stay away from the spirit world. You don't mess around with the spirit world. You know, that's wrong. So I kind of felt like I was doing something wrong. And then I realized, wait a minute, you know, that's crazy. There is nothing wrong. You know how wonderful it is to know that there is life after death, to know that, you know, there is not really death, is how I can describe it. There was a biologist who once said that seeing death at the end of life is like seeing the horizon as the end of the ocean. So to me, it doesn't make sense to think that, you know, death is the end. It really doesn't.
Exactly. And that's what this whole program is about.
But it's been a wake-up call for me. I mean, it didn't come easy to me.
Mm.
It took me a long time to get to this point.
Was this the first time such a thing happened to you in your memory on this plane? Or?
No, you know, I've had things happen to me. To give you another example, when I was pregnant with my daughter, I had what they call an AFP test. And the doctor called me up and he said, you know, I'm sorry to tell you this, but your daughter has Down syndrome. Of course, I was devastated. And I got on my hands and knees and I prayed to my grandmother. I was very close to my grandmother and I always sensed that she's still here and she can still hear me, you know. So I got on my hands and knees, I prayed to my grandmother. And that night, I dreamt that I went to her house. She lived in a two-family house, and you walked into the hallway, and there was like 10 steps going up to the second floor, okay? So I opened the door, I walked in, and I looked up, and I saw my grandmother at the foot of the landing holding a baby girl. Now, I didn't know it was a boy or a girl, but I knew that my grandmother was holding a baby girl, and she looked at me, and she said, Josie, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. And that was that. The next day, I got a phone call from the doctor because I had since had an amnio after the AFP test because they wanted to confirm that the baby had Down syndrome. And he said to me, I don't know how to tell you this, but we can't believe it. Everything's fine. The baby
wow.
doesn't have Down syndrome. Everything's fine. And I was just shocked. You know, first you tell me that my daughter has Down syndrome. You know, I'm so sorry, but your daughter has Down syndrome. And then I get, you know, everything's fine. But after that dream from my grandmother. So there are a lot of things that would happen to me. Like I would, for instance, hear my grandmother speak to me. And, I felt like, am I imagining these things?
Mm-hmm.
Like I would think of something, and I would hear her say something. And that's another thing that people have said to me, no, you know, you're open to it, and you have to learn to trust your intuition.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that, because I was just thinking that very thing. It is vitally important to choose that. And, you know, that's really what was happening, is that you were having a telepathic exchange with your grandmother, for example, and with other people. With
mm-hmm.
the with your husband's former boss, that sort of thing, because actually what happens is that when people transition from the physical plane, they're still very much intact and they're still very much aware of you. And so when they've got for example, when they want to convey a message, they just reach you in any way that they can, whether it be through intuition, through telepathy, through a dream or out-of-body state, any way they can reach you. And the more open you are, the more apparent it will become. There are a myriad of ways that people do connect with us and communicate with us from the other side. And this is tremendous. I'm so pleased that you're paying attention to all of this.
But do that, most people dismiss it. And I did too.
Yeah.
But you know, at first when I received signs, I didn't recognize them as signs. I'll give you another example. I was very close to my Uncle Tony, and he was very close to my two little girls. And one night, I have a habit. I fall asleep on the sofa. Like, I watch TV, I fall asleep on the sofa, and my husband leaves me there and goes upstairs to bed. So one night, I woke up, and it was about 3 in the morning, and I have a picture of my uncle on my lamp table. And I had this incredible sense that my uncle was in the room, so much so that I looked over at the picture and said, "Hi, Uncle Tony, how are you?" You know, had a conversation with him, turned off the light, went upstairs to bed. The next morning, my daughter, who was about 4, comes into my room, and she said, "Mommy, I had a dream about Uncle Tony last night." And I'm thinking it's another. I picked her up, put her on my lap. I said, "Well, tell Mommy what happened." And she said, "Well, you know, you were downstairs, and you were sleeping on the couch." She said, "And Uncle Tony was watching you." She said, "Then you got up from the couch, and you walked upstairs, and Uncle Tony followed you upstairs." Now, this was the same night.
Wow.
Okay, this was the same night. And I looked at her, you know, open mouth, like, oh, my gosh. Of course, she doesn't know any of this. But I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God. So when I sensed that he was in the room, he really was.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And, you know, last week, I turned everything off. You know, I was going upstairs to bed, and I get up to the second floor, and all of a sudden, again, I was thinking of my uncle, and the TV went on, all that stuff.
just, that happened.
Yeah, it just went on. And you know what? You would think that, you know, doing research on the book and writing the book and everything, that I wouldn't be afraid. You know what I did? I went into my room, and I woke my husband up, and I said, "Honey, wake up." And he said, "What? What's the matter?" I said, "The TV went on all by itself. Go downstairs and shut it off." I mean, and he's like, "Oh," and he gets up and he goes downstairs and he shuts it off. I mean, so could that have been a sign? Maybe.
Well, I can give you an example too. Now, I don't have television. I can't stand television. But when I was still in Nashville, Tennessee, this was right after, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, it was a couple of days after Chet Atkins passed away. And mm-hmm. I was at his funeral at the Ryman Auditorium, and he worked with, actually I've got a few friends who worked with Chet and were very close to him. And one evening I was very aware of my friend back in England who worked with Chet Atkins. So I was aware of my friend and I was aware of Chet, and I thought, oh blimey, it's crowded in here tonight. Mm-hmm. And then the following day someone was visiting me and we were nattering about Chet and some of the things. All of a sudden my stereo system went on.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I know it's Uncle Chet.
They say that happens. They say because of the energy that they're able to turn on.
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
Is that
oh,
true?
Yes, very much so, because there's a range of energy frequency when somebody leaves the body. In other words, we're not vibrating at such a dense, low vibrational frequency anymore once we leave our bodies. So it's pretty amazing what people can do with electronics and even us near-death experiences, the way we can mess things up as well, still being on the physical plane. But there's absolutely a shift, an energetic shift that takes place when one has near-death experiences, and then especially when one does transition and doesn't come back to the physical plane. So that's why I encourage people indeed pay attention, because there are a lot of things that happen not only with electronic devices and lights, but also with creatures. They might start channeling through your pet, through birds, through butterflies, clouds. There are so many things that you can experience. And also, like what you've done, you might actually clairaudiently hear the person on the other side speaking to you, actually hearing that person's voice. Now,
right.
The interesting thing about this is that a person does not have to be deceased in order for you to have this experience, because it's all telepathy. So it can you can hear your husband's voice, can hear your husband's friend's voice, you can hear your uncle's voice. It doesn't matter if they're on this side or on the other side. It will all happen the same way, and that.
But you have to be open to it, and you have to recognize it for what it is.
Yes.
And that's what I think in the beginning. I didn't recognize what was happening to me. What you just said about the stereo turning on,
yes,
that happened to me with my grandmother. I don't know what day it was, whether it was her birthday, but it was something connected to my grandmother. So I was thinking about her, and, I'm of Italian descent. My relatives are Italian, and I had an Italian CD in the stereo.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I'm going up the steps, and the stereo goes on all by itself, and a song that my grandmother used to love was playing. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I go downstairs. I look at the stereo. I have a standby button, okay? So when it's on standby, the stereo is really off.
Yes, I see.
Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the stereo was on standby, but playing. So it was really off, but on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does.
I mean, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God. Okay, the stereo is playing, but it's really off, so how do I turn it off? You know? it was amazing. And finally, what I decided to do, I got a little nervous, and what I decided to do was go behind it and pull the plug, and then it went off.
Oh, interesting. and sometimes, the one thing that I want to say is that these things do happen even if you're open or not, but then when you become more open, you start to recognize it. Aha, and sometimes these things will just keep happening, sort of like a nudge, it's pushing you, trying to draw your attention to it and what have you, check this out, look at this, pay attention, something's going on here.
Right.
So, and this is why this kind of topic is so important, because it's very, very commonplace, way more so than people realize. And the interesting thing is, and you just provided a perfect example of this, kids, they're aware of this stuff all the time. Hence, they're invisible friends.
Right.
Their invisible friends are not fantasies. They're real entities that they're in communion with, because children, bless them, are still so open and aware.
Why is that?
Well, because they're still trusting this. When we incarnate into the physical plane, we're still carrying a lot of wisdom with us.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, what happens is that people are conditioned and brainwashed out of it. Oh, that's just a load of nonsense. That's just your imagination. That's just a fantasy. It's not real.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And so by
right.
and by, we shut down. And we stop trusting in and believing our experiences, which is a shame. That's such a shame. So now we are having to unlearn this brainwashing that's been embedded into our psyche, since we were children. Fortunately, I've always been a mystic, and these experiences kept happening to me regardless of the fact that people were saying, oh, you're living in a fantasy. Well, that's not real. And I thought, well, I'm just going to have to find out if it's real or not. So the interesting thing is my near-death experiences were what validated for me these experiences that I've had all of my life, letting me know this is not a fantasy, this is not make-believe, this is absolutely real.
Right. And that's the thing with visits from heaven.
Absolutely.
I want every story to contain a validation. I don't want, I had a woman contribute a story, okay, and she said, well, I was in my room, and I saw the sheet move, and I knew it was my mother. Well, that may be, but to me, it could have been something else. So the point of writing this book is I want people to pick up visits from heaven. And when they're finished with visits from heaven, have no doubt that there is life after death.
Oh, bravo to that.
You know, I mean, it's a huge undertaking, I think. It's going to be hard to change a lot of minds. But if I can get the right stories and, you know, if everything contains a validation, then it'll be possible.
Well, I'm already seeing it as published, and in fact, I've been intuitively getting that for quite some time. And, you know, that's also why I submitted my material to you,
which, by the way, I'm very thankful to have.
Thank you. You are so welcome. That was loads of fun. And maybe I'll share that a little bit if you want. But let's give people your website and give our audience a way that they can contact you with after-death communications that they've experienced. That would include validations either from...
They can contact me two ways. They can go to my website at josievarga.com, or just email me at josievarga@comcast.net.
Okay.
And I also want to mention, I mean, I know that there are a lot of people that may be hesitant to share the experience because they don't want to have their name publicized. If that's the case, that's fine. They can send me the story, let me know that they want their name changed or whatever the case may be, and I will do that.
That's great. Yes, because I think this information, again, is very, very important that more and more people start to understand this. Have we got a caller?
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well.
I've been listening, and, you know, I had experience where my granddaughter, she was 10 years old, and she was having what we thought was night terrors, and she was calling to me, and I actually woke up and heard her.
Wow.
Now, was your daughter on the other side, or was she someplace else on the physical plane?
They're both on the physical plane.
Okay. And so you heard her telepathically speaking to you?
Yes, ma'am.
That's wonderful. Now, does this happen frequently to you?
Now, I have to tell you, it happened one other time. I heard her, and I said, I'm just dreaming this. I heard her call me, and I said, I'm dreaming this, and I went back to sleep.
Which is a natural reaction.
Pardon me?
And that's what a lot of people think.
Yeah. So the second time, it woke me right up. And I said, her name is Maya. I said, Maya, I said, I'm here. How can I help you? But I couldn't connect with her. And my daughter said, she was saying, I need to go home. I need to go home. And she wanted to go home to my house. But we thought it was night terrors that she was experiencing.
Okay. Well, I think that's a really, really relevant thing. Well, were you in a position to ask your daughter about this after it happened?
Actually, the next day, I spoke to her, and she said, well, Maya really had night terrors. And I said, well, what was it like? And she said, well, she said she was seeing people around the Christmas tree. And she said she saw me with a mustache. And I said, maybe she was seeing the future. Something like that. Maybe it's quite possible that she may have been seeing the future.
And they do that. And the interesting thing about that also, and as I experienced this whilst I was on the other side during my near-death state, is that everything happens in the now. Past, present, and future are all experienced in the now. So often you might, you know, see something or have future superimposed in present tense and see it all simultaneously. So that's really special. One thing that I wanted to share, speaking of our beloved daughters, during 9/11, my daughter was in Manhattan and I was in Nashville. And a friend rang me up because, again, I don't have television. I can't stand television. And a friend rang me up and told me what was going on. And I said, oh, goodness me, my daughter's in Manhattan. And I had remembered her. I thought I had remembered she was telling me she was actually going downtown Manhattan. And she actually was going to midtown Manhattan. So anyway, of course, there was no way, you know, to reach her or anything like that, or any way that she could reach me because there was no, you know, telephone or anything like that. The only thing I had was that I actually heard her audibly telling me, Mom, I'm okay.
Wow.
Mom, I'm okay. And I could hear her voice.
Interesting.
And this is what kept me sane throughout that day.
Wow.
And then it was only that night, because Josie, my daughter, lived in Montclair at the time in New Jersey, and she worked in Manhattan. So she was in Manhattan during 9/11. And I did not hear from her until 9:30 that night because, even though they had restored the telephone service, for some reason I still didn't hear from her. She was way out in Long Island. She actually made her way from Manhattan to Long Island and then back again. And, oh, goodness me, what was interesting is that she verified that indeed she had been projecting telepathically, Mom, I am okay.
Really?
Yeah. So cool. And I know I've repeated that a squillion times, but I can't emphasize enough how important it is to trust those experiences, because I tell you, I would have been totally hysterical.
I can imagine.
Oh, absolutely. But most people don't. Like, most people think, oh, what, am I going crazy? You know, am I really hearing something?
Well, you know, I had another experience, too. Like, 2 weeks after that, my other granddaughter, I heard her calling my name, and I knew enough to say, yeah, I'm here. Do you need me? But I also could not connect with her either. So maybe she was dreaming and calling my name. So I actually couldn't connect with her. And then I actually heard my sister crying. She has arthritis in her back. So I could hear my sister sobbing. I heard that also. So I don't know what's going on. I am on a spiritual path, so I don't know.
Well, that's a very good example of clairaudience, and I really want to encourage you, pay attention, trust
yes,
all of that. You're spot on, Madea. You really, really are. And what is your name, by the by?
My name is Sharon.
Sharon. Well, we really appreciate
your
call.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for letting me call.
Oh, you're so welcome, love. Keep up the good work, all right?
Okay, blessings.
Blessings
to
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's really wonderful, and what a great, great, great point there, because, again, just like what happened to me during 9/11, I certainly wasn't ready to lose my daughter. Of course, we never are.
No, exactly.
But, And see, this is wonderful, and that's why this show is so very important, because the more people can hear and have these examples, because it really, really is commonplace. It's as natural as breathing. And the more that people can hear about this and have these validations, the more people are going to start trusting their own experiences, and also not being so unkind to children by saying, oh, that's just make-believe. No, it is not.
Right.
And, you know, your daughter, bless her, she picked up on Uncle Tony just as you did. Wow!
Exactly. But that's my point in writing a book that contains only validations. Because I want people to understand that what's happening is actually real.
Yes.
It's not, you know, it's not a figure of your imagination. But the things are going well with that. I mean, I'm hoping to get a lot more responses. I have mediums, I have authors, I have speakers, I have bereaved moms and dads. They have actually come through with a lot of interesting stories. One particular story stands out in my mind. I got a contribution from a mom who lost her son. And she said she was upset, obviously, and she prayed to God to give her a sign that her son was okay. So she said she had a vivid dream, a visit, and she said she was walking around in what she experienced as heaven. And she came upon a house. And on the porch of this house, she saw her son. She said she didn't see his face. She saw the back, and she knew it was him. And he was sitting on the porch, Juliet, and he was carving a piece of wood. She said because when he was on Earth, he would always do that. He would always carve wood. She said something told her to look to the left. And when she did, she saw a mailbox. And on the mailbox was 000000000. A lot of zeros, okay? She wakes up, and it's 3:30 in the morning. And she's like, you know, she knew that she had received a visit from her son. She knew that her son was okay. The next morning, she goes to call her daughter. Well, her daughter beat her to it and called her first and said, Mom, you're not going to believe what happened. And before she got to tell her daughter what happened, her daughter says, I woke up at 3:30 in the morning. The phone was ringing. And the caller ID said 000000000. Exactly what her mother saw.
Wow.
Exactly what her mother saw in the dream. Now, mind you, her daughter doesn't know that her mother had this dream yet because her mother didn't get a chance to tell her. Okay, so she's telling this to her mother, and it gets better, and she says to her mother, well, she lives in her bedroom. She has these shelves from the floor to the ceiling. So she's lying in bed, and she looks up, and she sees something sticking out from the top of the shelf that she'd never seen before. You know, she didn't remember seeing this. So she got up, got a ladder, she went up to see what it is, and she pulled it out, and it was actually a piece of carved wood. Now, when she went over to the other side, she saw her son carving a piece of wood.
Yes.
So her daughter pulls out this wood, and in the wood was the names of her and her mom. And then, you know, her mother then told her daughter what happened. And she said to me, she goes, when my daughter said this to me, she goes, I wanted to drop the phone. she said, I could not believe what she was saying to me. And she said, you know what, Josie? What I was given that night was a gift. She said, I was given communication by God, whatever anyone wants to call it, God, a supreme being, whatever. Okay, she goes, and I refuse to see it as anything else. And that's how I see it. Truthfully, I mean, I see what happened to me as a gift, and I want to take advantage of it and share it with other people. And hopefully I can help someone else out there.
Oh, this is tremendous.
But that is an example of one contribution that I received. That one really amazed me.
Yes.
I mean, you know, to wake up and to see those numbers on the phone and to actually see those numbers on the other side, it's pretty incredible. But you know what? Like I said, I've had these things happen to me my whole life, but I never really made the connection. I come from a very close family, and I had an uncle, Carmen. And when I was young, I mean, I was just getting out of college, or maybe I was 21, and my uncle died from heart failure. And one night, I went to sleep, and I dreamt that I went into his garage, and there was a room in the back of his garage. And I opened the door, and I saw my uncle sitting there smoking. And he looked at me, smiled, and said, you know, hello, and I'm okay. Let everybody know that I'm okay. And I'm thinking to myself, this is weird. Why would he be in a little room smoking?
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah, so I called my cousin Sal up, and his son. I'm very close to him. So I called him up, and I said, you're not going to believe this, but I had a dream about your father. And he was in this room in the garage smoking, and my cousin was like, oh, my gosh. And I said, what? He said, well, my mother never liked him smoking in the house. So he used to have like a little art studio in his garage. So his father would always go into that room and smoke. Now, I didn't know that. You know? I didn't know that. So my cousin says this to me, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. You know, so now that I'm starting to understand this, Juliet, you know, now that I'm starting to understand after-death communication and all the different forms of after-death communication, I'm starting to understand what actually happened. It's all starting to make sense. But then I didn't put all the pieces together. So to answer your question, yes, this has been happening to me for a long time. And I think that things happen to people, you know, all the time, and they just don't recognize it for what it is.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, I just hope that everybody out there can just trust their intuition. And if you think that it's something else, it is something else. You know?
And, you know, I can't stress enough once again how really important it is to not second-guess ourselves and to trust our intuition, because and there's a little bit of a glow about intuition. It's something that just comes so naturally, and it's like a gentle tap on the shoulder or a little bird, you know, just trying to get your attention. Look at this, you know, pay attention to this. And I think as more and more people start to wake up to this, that they will see it happening all the time,
mm-hmm.
all the time, all around them. So, you know, I find this very exciting when people can share these experiences, because it's not freaky, it's not weird, it's not woo-woo.
Right.
It's just totally, totally natural. And the fact is, again, we are interdimensional beings and multi-sensory beings. An interesting thing that I included in the article that I wrote called The Dying Process from an Experiencer's Perspective, I make the point of letting people know that when beings appear to us, you know, to us mediums, and everybody actually is a medium, we just don't all recognize it or use it.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody appears to us, like for example, let's say the uncle smoking and all of that stuff, that's
mm-hmm.
not actually what they really look like on the other side, but that is just what they project to us on this side for the sake of recognition.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like a hologram. And I'll give an interesting point there, because I experienced this whilst I was on the other side, of course. But when an acquaintance in Nashville, I just gotten a call that an acquaintance had just crossed over. So I had said to him, you know, I just focused on him, and I said, all right, what do you look like now? Not what your physical body look like. What do you look like now? And then all of a sudden, I beheld the most beautiful vision, a luminous one that looked kind of like an inverted water drop, or sort of like a luminous jellyfish.
Hmm.
But it was very detailed and very beautiful, and I drew that. And I actually, what I use is a white pencil on a black or navy blue paper,
mm-hmm.
so that you can get the effect of the light. And it was really quite lovely. And I gave it to his wife.
Oh, that was very nice.
And it was just wonderful. And interestingly enough, when I was told that I had to come back to the physical plane from my big near-death experience in the mid 70s. All of a sudden, I beheld someone standing, as it were, in front of me, facing me, pouring all of this love into me. And I could feel the essence of this being, and it was similar. It just had this beautiful, luminous glow about it, again, kind of like a circular or almost water drop shape, like an inverted water drop. Or a comet or something like that, and it was absolutely beautiful.
That's what they say. And, you know, going back to my after-death communication with Rich, what I find very interesting is when I was talking to him, okay, when I was going through this, I didn't feel any fear. I was, you know, very calm. And then when I woke up, when I actually came through, then I felt panic. But when I was actually, I just felt this complete calmness. You know, like I don't know how to describe it.
Well, you were being totally natural, and you were being totally open, but then what happened when you woke up into the ego mind, the ego became frightened because it stretches, it moves way beyond the confines of what the ego can handle. I believe we've got another caller.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to share a story, and I'm not sure what it means, but I imagine it's all about love. My sister and my mother had a very, they were estranged, and my mother passed away in 01. And 2 nights ago, my sister told me that my mother showed up in her dream, and she was like in her 40s and was really happy. And she appeared to my sister and initiated a really big hug, and it was just a beautiful visit, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened. I mean, that's big enough, but it wasn't like foretelling of something, but I was wondering if you could just comment on visits like that in dreams.
Well, I think if she sensed that it was really your mother, then it probably was. I mean, for me, I know the difference between a visit and a dream. Usually, the after-death communications are so vivid, you know, you can tell the difference between a dream and an after-death communication. It just leaves you with a very warm feeling. It's just,
yeah.
How would you describe it, Juliet?
Well, I would say, I'm going to add a couple of comments to that. First of all, I'm certain, I do not question for a moment that it was indeed a very real ADC,
right.
and beautiful kind of completion or closure or mending taking place.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the ADCs can happen in dreams as well as in out-of-body experiences and what have you, and they're very lucid. They feel very real, and also, if your sister could sense the essence of your mom, I'm certain that was indeed your mom. And in fact, intuitively, I'm getting that it was indeed your mom. And, and reassuring your sister that everything is all right, you know, because when we're dealing with fear through the egoic mind, we don't really see or operate clearly. Then, you know, once we move away from the egoic persona, then everything shifts, and love and harmony are restored, and the lines of communications are opened back up. So this is beautiful, and it's very heartening. I had a friend, actually, I've got his book for sale because it's called Surviving Death.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with him is that his father was in hospital dying, and he and his mom had come home. He'd gone to bed, and then he sat up. Well, at least his spirit body sat up. So he was part out of body and part not. He was out of body from the waist up.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, he's having this dialogue with his father. And it was very clear and very beautiful. And then his father finally said, I've got to go now. And he just sort of retreated back to the corner of the room and out to the roof, and poof, he was gone. A moment later, there was a knock on the door, and it was Scott's mum. And Scott's mum said, I just got a phone call from hospital, and your father just crossed over. And Scott said, yes, mum, I know. I just saw him and was talking with him.
Wow.
So, again, I do have that book for sale on my website, and it's also on the show info. It's called Surviving Death by Scott Degenhardt. And so, you know, we've got ADCs out the wazoo here. They're all over the place, and they're very, very commonplace.
Yeah, it's kind of, for me, it's kind of, I need to work, and I was wondering, I don't know if there's any exercises, but between wishful thinking and ego, like you were talking about, and the real communication. So I guess that's just something, I don't know, if are there exercises that one can do to hone that?
I don't know. I mean, you know, what I've heard is that if you concentrate on that person and think of them before you go to bed, that sometimes you may get a visit. I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, that's what I mean, in my case, there was nothing that I did to get this after-death communication with Rich, the one who died on 9/11. I mean, it just happened.
Right.
But I have had cases where I've concentrated on my grandmother, and I've heard her voice in my head.
Oh.
So the only thing I can say is trust what you feel and trust your intuition, because years ago, I would have said, oh, that's nothing. I'm just imagining things. But today, I have a greater understanding. I have a greater understanding of what's going on. So I learn to trust what I'm feeling and what I'm seeing, and, you know, et cetera. So that's the best thing I can say to you. Trust your intuition.
Okay. Thank you both.
It's true that the ego will tend to default into denial. So it's important not to let that get in the way.
Right.
And to trust your experience. And, you know, I'm always telling people, because people ask me these questions all the time, and I use the analogy input, output. Wishful thinking is a very different sensation than receiving a message or what have you. So, you know, we can be thinking about somebody, and that's output. Input is something very different, because you might not even be thinking about somebody, and then all of a sudden you have a vision of that individual, or you hear that person speaking to you or what have you. That's what I refer to as input.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to be confused with the wish. You know, if you put the intent out there, I want to hear from you, mom or sister or uncle or grandmother, and then just let go. Also, when I've given, you know, when I've done tutoring, teaching people how to become mediums and psychics, the main thing that I encourage people is relax into it.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to relax. Allow yourself to flow. Because when you relax, that's when you are most open to receiving the input.
I believe that.
See what I'm saying?
I absolutely do.
So you can put your intent out there. I would like to hear from you. And then, you know, address that individual by name or what have you. And then just let go and relax.
Yeah.
And see what happens. But pay attention.
Right. Right.
And you will find that it's amazingly easy.
great advice. Thank you both for listening.
Thank you. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much. Blessings to you.
Oh, blessings to you, too. Lots of love. Bye.
This is wonderful. Gosh, we're having some really special things going on here. And I think, Josie, that you are going to be getting a lot of wonderful response. And let's give your website again. The website again is Josie Varga, right?
JosieVarga.com. JosieVarga.
And that's V as in voice, right?
Right.
So that
right.
People can get that?
V as in voice, VARGA. And the email address is josievarga@comcast.net.
Okay.
And like I said, I mean, if anyone just wants to email me with questions, they can do that as well. Or if they don't want their name posted, that's fine. Just let me know.
Yes, because things are done with anonymity all the time, and that's certainly not a problem. It's just been so wonderful sharing. And have you got anything coming up that you would like to share with the audience, or any little bit of advice that you would like to share with our listeners?
Like I said, with visits from heaven, I just want to say, trust your intuition, trust what you're feeling. It's a wonderful gift that I've been given. That's the only way I can describe it. Just in the knowledge that life doesn't end. And I hope that everyone will send their stories in and help me get a very important message out. And as far as there's other things I'm working on too, I'm talking about Make Up Your Mind to Be Happy, 101 Ways to Nourish Your Spirit. That's another book that I'm working on. And it just basically talks about simple things that you can do on a daily basis to lift your spirit. I just encourage everyone to be positive. I really believe that everything in life happens for a reason. And if I could change anything about my life, I mean, I know I told you that I was born with cerebral palsy. I have bilateral hearing loss. I had was diagnosed with skin cancer. There was a lot of negative things that happened in my life. But if I had the choice to go back and change anything in my life, I wouldn't change a thing.
That's
I wouldn't change
tremendous.
A thing because everything that happened to me, Juliet, makes me the strong person that I am today.
And
everything that happened brought me to where I am right now.
Well, I share that, my dear. This is wonderful, and I want to thank you so much for sharing. Well, our time is up for this transmission of Toward the Light. This has been an exceedingly wonderful program this week, and I'm so pleased to have Josie Varga with us.
Oh, thank you.
You've been listening to Toward the Light, leading back to the source, and this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale reminding you, it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Please remember that only love is real. Next week, we will have a near-death experiencer, Peggy Porter, joining us on Toward the Light. Please tune in next week. This is Reverend Nightingale signing off this week for this transmission of Toward the Light. Blessings and light to all.